Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Portage County Board of Commissioners meeting, January 4th, 2023. And I'd like to have a roll call. Commissioner Shaw.
Commissioner Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Chairman John Trent.
Present.
Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Commissioner Foy Brown Senior.
Present.
And acting as Commissioner Ronald Weston via Zoom.
Here by Zoom.
What balance can we give us on the case?
The problem is thank you now allow us to come together one more time as concerned citizens to represent this county. And we ask that you be in the midst, bless all hearts and minds. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Commissioner. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. 3 minute comments. Do you have any 3 minute comments?
Very good, sir.
Okay.
Good evening.
Name, sir?
My name is Jason Duvall with Carolina Rebuilding Ministries.
Good to see you.
And to you, blessings to you all. Commissioner Weston, blessings to you and your healing and your wife as you're at home as well. You all told me that I had 20 minutes to talk today. Yes, sir. I'll do my best. You know, it's gracious. So in lieu of school out at the Virtue School, Southwestern School, just in short, we have Carolina Rebuilding Ministries that is partnered with an organization called Rural Renew. Rural Renew is a Christian Reformed Church that hails from the Midwest, primarily around Michigan, Indiana, up into Canada. So we partnered with Rural Renew. Rural Renew will be coming down to help us assist and prayerfully finish refabbing more homes within a limited time frame. So the me being me, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get your approval. They're going to come down, and initially, at the end of the month, they wanted to talk about going into the left side of the building. So that left wing, as soon as you walked into the main door of the school, they were going to come in and occupy that space on the left side. They're going to refab that side. They're going to paint it. They're going to build beds, make it occupied or presentable for three crews to come down and assist us with housing in Berkeley County. Just me being me, I have this feeling. You know that song, I got that feeling, that they may want to take a look at those two modular units that are out in the back. And I know we had talked about those modular, yes, sir. I know we talked about those modular units. This will be $0 coming from the county, and it'll be $0 coming from Carolina Rebuilding Ministries. What I would like is for you guys to say it's okay, even if they hypothetically want to use those two modular units out in the back. Is it okay, or is it not?
Well, I can tell you now, I would like to get a vote on all these census. Would that be good enough? We need to have a vote on that.
You may want to check and make sure those buildings are not going to be a lawsuit for us.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get the county attorney now to release a liability for our CRM on that. Most of them release a liability before what you're talking about.
Sir,
it's going to be safe for the conversation.
Yes. I just want to, you know, just in case, you know, it's like sending Marines to the field of combat, you know, send them in the field of outbreaks.
Absolutely.
So if they come down, then I'd like, you know, if they show interest in those two modules, I just want to be able to, you know, be clear and honest with everybody.
Okay.
So they end up fighting.
All right. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion there, though, and consider then the new group, renewal group coming in and utilize. After we do this with our attorney, that would be a liability on the county. And right now, they're not being used, so why not? You know,
yep.
Especially, Jason, y'all doing a super job here in the county for the Berkeley County citizens putting their homes back together at $0. So, you know, we have to respect and I appreciate everything y'all guys are doing. Today, I bring my church clerk with me, this Jerry. And she knows we've been talking about rebuilding my church, the great job that y'all doing, while asking the members of the church to pass the word on to their family members so that they can get the help that they need.
Amen.
I thank you.
Praise God. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a first, second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yes.
God bless, thank you.
Exactly. John, you can make sure we get it in this lobby.
Yes, sir. I remember when the lease was discussed, we thought it was a lot down.
Exactly. It's a
condition that couldn't be discussed.
That's right.
And so, yeah, we can do a release, waiver of liability. If we can do an amendment to the lease to specify what we're doing, we want to do that as well.
That'd be great. But
do you remember that?
Because, like I said, we just well called you guys. I said we'd be great for the board to vote to take care of liability.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I'd also like to add, if we could, I think it might be in our best down to this interest, if we just take a walk through. I don't know if I have ever been in there, and if I have, it's been a very long time. And so I think it might be helpful for maintenance director to just do a walk through, because I recall our attorney saying before, a waiver of liability doesn't always mean that you won't have to cover certain levels or be held responsible, for instance, if I think the term is something like reasonable care or something to that extent. At any rate, I think it would be appropriate for someone to take a look just to make sure that it is safe to y'all.
Just we can talk more about it later, but yeah, there's generally speaking, if you're negligent, you're negligent. So the condition may need to be assessed.
Yeah. But I think in our first meeting, we had the bill of the contract. I have brought up the conversation that we would be adding on to their liability policy as adding insurers.
Right.
Which means their liability would stand in front of the county regardless of what could happen.
Right.
And again, you've got to clarify that and pay for work for them also when you do this.
Right. Yeah. The first layer of liability protection is always insurance. So we'll double check and see on that.
And make sure we're following everything
possible.
Okay. Any other 3 minute comments?
Good evening, Chairman Trent, Vice Chair Robertson, and Commissioners. My name is Rachel Ballas, and I'm here on behalf of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and our nearly 156,000 members in North Carolina alone. I would like to introduce you tonight to Star. This is how we found Star and her 8 puppies on a very stormy day in Bertie County. She was left tethered outside. Her area is completely flooded. Her puppies were running around, and that is the only shelter that she and her 8 puppies had. Nobody came out to check on Star. Nobody moved her to a dry area. It was not until our field workers were driving by, saw her, talked to the owner, and asked to move her to a drier area. She has absolutely no escape from the elements, and she is out 24/7, 365 days a year. I would like to introduce you to Seven. Seven is just a puppy. But this is how her owner left her tethered with only an old swing for shelter. And it wasn't until the owner happened to see our van, flag us down, and asked for if we can help them. And we brought her a doghouse, but this is what she had. She was not able to reach her water because she was so tangled. Now she was left. And then, of course, Jacko, who we alerted Bertie County Animal Control and David to on December 29th. This was how he was. We had talked to the owners about his emaciated condition. Owners refused to do anything, and he was seized, and we are grateful to Animal Control for seizing him. There is another dog on the property who is also tethered 24/7. She is underweight, and we do hope that Animal Control will be vigilant and continue visiting this address so that she is not left in the same condition as Jacko was. Until this board starts taking animal welfare in Bertie County seriously, we will continue to find dogs like Star, like Jacko, and like Seven left out in all weather streams, left with inadequate shelter, and left to starve. We urge you to pass an ordinance that would put common sense definitions in place, such as adequate shelter, adequate space, and ban unattended tether.
Thank you.
Rachel, I have a comment. to the citizens of Berkeley County. If they have any problems with adult care, kid care, elder care, all of those, you know, and you know, when I reached out to you about some stray kids, cats that came out the woods, y'all came to the rescue. Y'all took care of the cats and brought them back to me. And if I can do that, you know, I like to hold my citizens of Berkeley County accountable for doing the same thing. Help is here for them to take advantage of help so that animals won't have to suffer.
We are, Vice Chair Robertson, we are helping as much as we can.
We are
swimming upstream.
Right.
And without better protections that are on the books that can be enforced by law enforcement and animal control, we will continue to find dogs like these, because Jacko was seized because he was in an emaciated state. But there are other animals that we've reported that are not deemed to be in such, you know, extreme state, and they're left there. So they're tethered 24/7. They have an adequate shelter. And because Berkeley County follows the state statute, which is very broad, does not have definitions, it's, you know, a law enforcement, sometimes their hands are tied, which is why many localities have passed local ordinances so that they can better protect animals from conditions like these. We're not going anywhere. We want to help as much as we can, but we need your help. We need your help.
Thank you.
That's good. We have 3 minutes. Performance. Request for vote on Chair or News Herald, Crossroads Magazine, ad by multimedia consultants and Phillips.
Good evening.
Hello, Hannah.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Thank you for allowing me to present you this information about our 2024 Crossroads Magazine. Renichon Publications will be publishing our annual Crossroads edition, and we'll insert them in the Renichon News Herald and the Gates County Index at the end of February. This edition will feature milestone achievements, which include any business, civic organization, or club who in 2024 will reach a milestone of 25, 50, 75, 100, 125, 150 years or older within Berkeley, Hertford, Northampton, and Gates counties. We're also soliciting for centenarians in the Renichon area who will turn 100 years old or more in 2024. I'd like to invite you to be part of our once-a-year spectacular edition, where we will touch many people on a personal level, as well as boasting about industry, education, and community leadership. Through this edition, your advertising message will reach an audience of over 7,000 readers. This magazine has a shelf life of 1 year. Extra copies will be printed to distribute to our 4-county Chamber of Commerce, economic development offices, and various corporate offices. We'll also distribute to welcome centers and tourism centers outside of the Renichon area. Last year, Berkeley County, in years past, has held a position of page 3. Last year, its ad featured Berkeley County exploring our backyard. We had photos with captions to include Berkeley County students on a nature observation boat ride, Berkeley Beach Day at the Tall Glass Water, tourists kayaking at the Cheshire River, and more. The cost is $16.15, and then I would like to ask you all if you all would like to keep page 3 for this year.
That's the same thing we had last year?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. Okay. Give me that price again.
It was $16.15.
And that was the same price as last year, correct?
Correct.
Yes, we go ahead and do it, and we have a motion about it. I'm going to be here on the request from Washington on News Herald of the Crossroads Magazine. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you all so much. And please, if you will, submit any of the nominations for these milestone achievements to our candidate, Cal Bryant.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, presentation to Berkeley County deputies by Sheriff Tyra Welcome. Oh, Sheriff.
Good evening. How are you? How's everybody else? I promise not to hold you very long. Thank you all so much for allowing us to have an opportunity to be here this afternoon. A very important thing that I feel that, you know, the job that our law enforcement officers do in the field, I believe that one of the things that we should do is publicly recognize them for things that they do going over and beyond the call of duty. Along with that, I do want to say thank you to our county commissioners and to our citizens of Berkeley County for giving the Berkeley County Sheriff's Office the tools necessary for us to effectively do our job. And because of that, these are some instances that, because of the equipment and the things that you all have allowed us to or have provided for us, we have been able to do a wonderful job. First, I would like to call Deputy Braxton Manning up. Deputy Braxton Manning. And I believe that this needed to be done at a commissioner's meeting so that the citizens will know what our law enforcement officers are doing. On December the 8th, 2023, Berkeley County Emergency Services was dispatched to a residence in Windsor in reference to a 65-year-old male not breathing. Deputy Manning was in the vicinity of that area, and when the call came out, Deputy Manning was the first to arrive on scene. Deputy Manning advised that he went into the residence to find the male not breathing. So Deputy Manning immediately started CPR until other emergency personnel arrived. Emergency personnel, Deputy Manning, worked for over an hour to perform life-saving measures on an unresponsive male. During the life-saving measures, emergency personnel was able to gain a pulse on him at least four times. Unfortunately, those life-saving measures were unsuccessful in maintaining a healthy cardiac rhythm. But even though the male was not able to be fully revived, I want to commend the efforts of Deputy Manning and also I see our emergency personnel here this evening, Ms. Crystal, and our dispatcher director, Ms. JW, she's here also, and they play a major part in what we do. And but tonight I want to just recognize Deputy Braxton Niles Manning for going over and beyond the call of duty to save the life of another. I'd like to present to him a certificate for a heroic act. And this certificate states that this acknowledges that Braxton Miles Manning has been recognized for outstanding achievement for your selfless and heroic acts on December 8, 2023. Your personal efforts of performing medical aid to another prior to emergency personnel's arrival positively impacted others. Your courageous actions are an exemplary model for others to emulate. From the Berkeley County Sheriff's Office, thank you for your outstanding service and dedication to the citizens of Berkeley County. This time I'll call Sergeant Ricky Doja. Sergeant Ricky Doja is also recognized tonight. On November the 30th, 2023, deputies and emergency responders were dispatched to Lassiter's Lane in Lewiston in reference to an overdose. Sergeant Ricky Doja was the first to arrive on scene, and Sergeant Ricky Doja entered into the residence to find the victim unresponsive and breathing about every 30 seconds. Due to the nature of the call, Sergeant Dozier got Narcan from his patrol vehicle and immediately administered a dose to the victim. After no effects of the first dose, Sergeant Dozier administered a second dose of Narcan. Quickly thinking, Sergeant Doja began to administer chest compressions to the victim. After starting the chest compressions, the victim's eyes were open and started, and he began to become alert. Sergeant Dozier was able to notify other responding emergency responders. He was able to notify other responding emergency responders that the victim was coming to himself. Upon EMS arrival, they treated the victim, and the victim refused any further treatment. But this is just another great example of an outstanding performance by our law enforcement officers here in Burton County. And tonight I want to present Sergeant Ricky Cardell Dozier II, a life-saving certificate and also a life-saving commendation bar to be worn on his uniform. This certificate states that a life-saving certificate that's acknowledged that Ricky Cardell Dozier II has been recognized for outstanding achievement for your selfless and heroic acts on November 30th, 2023. Your personal efforts of performing medical aid played an imperative part in saving a life. Your willingness to act in a composed and competent manner prior to the arrival of EMS personnel positively impacted the community. Your courageous actions are an exemplary model for others to emulate. From the Burton County Sheriff's Office, thank you for your dedicated service. Sergeant Ricky Dozier. And again, I want to say, and also here's a commendation bar also that Sergeant Dozier will be issued to wear on the uniform. And I do want to say again, thank you so much to the commission. Thank you so much to commissioners, to the citizens of Burton County for allowing us and providing us with the things that we need to do our job. And I dare not leave out our EMS personnel and our dispatch personnel for them, the dispatchers getting us to it, and for EMS personnel getting there and taking over when we don't know what to do. But thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Sure. Commissioners, we really appreciate the updates. When things happen in the county, my phone goes off. All the commissioners' phone go off for the updates and everything they share with us. So we'll know and I'll surround them what's happening. Appreciate that.
Very well.
Thanks, Chair. Certainly. Thanks, Chair. Okay, next on the agenda is going to be introduction of new 4-H agent, Tony Young, by extension director of the Bill of
Commissioners, County Manager, it's a pleasure to be here tonight. We want to introduce our new 4-H agent, Tanika Young, and get her in just a minute to talk a little bit about herself and give a little background information. We've been without this full-time position for a couple of years. Our staff has filled in and we kept our program moving, but we're excited now for it to really launch, and we're excited to have Tanika here. So, Tanika, give a little bit of update on yourself and where you're from.
Well, I'm
much to thank,
but I am a native Burton County. I grew up in Mary Hill, but I've been in Wendell at Howard. I was a graduate of Burton County College in 2006, and I got my bachelor's from East Carolina University and my master's from UNC. I've been an early childhood teacher at high school, early childhood learning director, and a kindergarten teacher. And that's just real good about me. I love kids, so this was a perfect opportunity to work with kids in our community, especially since I can work with kids. That's just real good about me.
Well, congratulations on the position.
Thank you.
It sounds like you're in such a great place, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen. In the introduction, Agent Service Director Rebecca Stapleton, by Senator Warren Park.
Yes, sir. Commissioners and to the public, everyone in attendance, virtual and physically, I am honored and excited to introduce our new Agent Services Director, Ms. Rebecca Stapleton. And just to tell you a little bit about her, what more she has a word or two. Director Stapleton has over 27 years of experience in the field. When I say in the field, I don't mean in the various agencies within the government. I mean the field as in aging services. So she comes with several of trainings and certifications, including being a graduate of the Division of Aging and Adult Services, Senior Center Management Certificate, and the list goes on. So without further ado, Director Stapleton.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to thank County Manager Vaughn and Commissioners for allowing me this chance. I feel right at home. I started last Tuesday and hit the ground running. I have a wonderful staff. I have a staff member here. I'd like to recognize Alicia Browning. She and the rest of the staff, we have some great ideas that we are going to implement. We are in the process of clearing some space out. We're looking forward to new activities. We have a Facebook page that I would like everyone to like. It's 13 County Senior Center, Council on Aging. And we will be very active with that Facebook page. We're planning events, we're planning services. We're looking to do great things for the senior population in Berkeley County. And I appreciate the opportunity to provide that.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Request for position addition, a reclassification by Human Resources and Risk Management Director Victoria Harrell.
Good evening, Commissioners. Item number five on the agenda is on behalf of the Emergency Services Department. The position is currently classified as Administrative Assistant on step 6 of the pay scale. The proposal is to reclassify this position to an Assistant Emergency Management Coordinator that will fall under grade 71. This change was supported by the Director, Ms. Taylor Vaughn, although it was initiated by his predecessor, who thoroughly assessed the responsibilities of an employee who was serving in that role. Due to the substantial changes in duty, I agree with the justification of this position as the coordinator on the emergency management side. Therefore, it is my recommendation to reclassify this position and respectfully request the board's approval to add the position to grade 71 of the pay classification plan.
It's more than questions.
So we're going to, you're getting rid of the administrative assistant altogether and just re, so yeah. We're still going to hire a person.
The person as the coordinator is going to take all those responsibilities.
So we're just renaming this position. So the administrative assistant is going away.
For that department. But of course, we could have administrative assistant in various departments, so it needs to remain on the schedule. But yes,
the admin assistant in the emergency.
Any other questions? Financial, are we good with that?
We are.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions? If there's not any questions, I'll entertain a motion, please. I'll make a motion that we set up the recommendation to come from HR. Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah, we have first and call for second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, Dog Glass Water update by Project Consultant Robin Bain.
Evening, everyone. Okay, 12 glasses of water. Last time we met, we talked a bit more about moving forward with the campground plan. So, we talked to a couple of we talked to a couple design groups focused primarily or solely on campground design, and great projects in North Carolina. This one particular company is working in Peterson right now. But I'm happy that with the focus of campground design, We could utilize existing plans for showers, restrooms, the diving into specific subcontracting needs, and therefore we're saving a lot of money. So this is what we need. So I wanted to show you that, and then we'll talk about a grant for planning monies in a few minutes. Control burn. Control burn. We have put in a request with 34 service. That's still standing. But we have the option now of utilizing Salmon Creek State Natural Areas control burn activities. They're also too wet right now. But when they get ready to burn, they can include our property, Tallgrass Water property.
This is
okay, Joe, are you there?
Picture on the screen.
No.
Robin,
it's not
Mars.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's an example of the level of detail.
Yes, I'm here, Robin.
Okay, sorry. All right. So, controlled burn area. I'm having trouble accessing the file on this laptop.
Give me 1 second. Is that better?
No. I don't see it. We don't see it yet. Next screen, screen number 2. It says control burn.
There's it's showing up on the laptop at the podium, but it's not on the same thing on the monitor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So it's a control burn. So if you put Tallgrass Water, the pine forest, they're in 3 separate areas. And all of these forests are bordering the Salmon Creek property. So we are looking in each of these 3 spots, 3 different sort of situations. One area Dr. Riggs is a little concerned about is we've already have deciduous trees coming. We may not have to go anymore. So that's what we're doing. It's still too bad. We're getting there. But I will need to write a letter approving, from the county's perspective, approving that it's all right with states go ahead and trigger our scope in their control process. We'll still get out there and look at it, but I just want to update the plan. If anybody has a concern over it, I think it's the way, Joe. I reread all of the environmental plans that we have for the property, and that's been since for generations. There we go. Okay, 3 areas. That's it. So the one in bright red is we really need to control burn that. The one in the dotted red is the one we're watching for deciduous growth right now. The one in the yellow most definitely you know, it's a larger area, but it would be of benefit, especially if we're looking more closely now. But I will share that letter with Juan when we make a final decision about which areas we're going to work on. Okay, USDA RBDG. This is a grant for $150,000. No match is needed. No match is needed because we have a grant in place for the planning money. And that is our accessibilities for parks grant. And this funding would be used for campground design and for the schematics that are needed for the phase two, which we need to move forward on our funding. So I'd like to have approval to move forward with the grant. It is due February 28th. So I would need those minutes to include the motion.
Do you have a motion to approve this agreement for the grant?
I'm ready to motion.
It's a,
thank you.
It's a USDA RBDG business opportunity grant.
Yeah, we have a first and we have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Second is, okay, Joe, can you pull up now the next PDF? We've talked about this budget for the upcoming season for the project, and it is $145,000 for equipment shelter, so that the new employee has an office, a place to store all of the small equipment and the tractor. And I can submit a grant for $55,000 that leads to USDA community facilities. It's only for equipment. It's due in March. But of course, the division of appointment applying for the grant will also have the rest of the funders. So I'm looking for a movement forward. $145,000 minus $100,000. $100,000.
I don't know how to move seven, so like that.
95. This is for this budget that we've talked about a few months.
Uh-huh.
Be up and ready for the season. It's coming. That is the employee that we've talked about, providing them with the right equipment.
Yes.
Getting the campgrounds open. The beach taken care of. Part of that equipment that we requested is a box blade that's on the cabinet, so we'll be able to survive that road for it.
Yes, so the employee is definitely in the budget. There were some funds not broken out to this extent, but there were some funds in the recreational.
That's the employee. Yeah.
So the employee for sure, but also some additional funds for it. That those are looking, but it may not be enough for $95,000.
Their list, we've already crossed revenues, so this is
in addition to,
yeah, because this okay. Is, stays out of the beach.
Gotcha.
So, we have a job classification and job advertising position.
We have not started advertising for that yet. Which Victoria Carroll, I think, Donna has provided that information to her because she is, we've been sure staff. Finance, those warriors, students have been addition to open enrollment, and that's having new benefits at the beginning of the year. She is a labor doing that, but it is on her list, and I'll make sure that she follows up on getting that position.
All right, so basically, what you're saying, we'll have $90,000 to throw towards the spring, correct?
If she's already checked with Donna and cross reference and say that it's not in the budget.
Where would you get that $90,000 from?
Archie. We can put it forward into the next budget.
As long as everybody knows that.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can think of that.
As long as you know that, that means that we're not going to be ready.
Okay, I think we must do that. This is supposed to be here. And by the time you get the job description, get the job advertised, folks are going to give out to you. This could be here.
Now, the architectural study, this is the $25,000 for the shovel test. Now, the shovel test is what's necessary for everything that's going to happen of the projects moving forward. So it is holding up the shoreline stabilization process, needing the Chinook, and it's holding up the accessibility for park grant that we have ready out of the mountain. And then we have a land and water conservation fund grant for 500,000. Both of them, all three, requiring a lot of leadership. Now, 12,500 we can pull from one of our permit categories in the grant we received, and that's not approved. So I'm looking for the other 12,500.
Mr. Manager, you'll go for $12,500 for the line items.
And the window is immediate?
As soon as possible.
It's so, well worked.
Well, and this is for the entire 104 acres. So,
you can take a look if they're helping me to save the shore. I mean, I like the thing that we do. considering things that we've been discovering recently,
right.
I don't want to commit to something that we're not budgeted, but again, we can take a closer look.
And that's the reason I'm asking you on every one of these questions. Yeah, you know, the situations we're running into around this tax and our receivables. Okay. We need to get back with the funding sales clause.
Okay. I need to stay in touch with each of the funders that we've received. And then I see that the work session is scheduled for the housing plan. Everybody's received that. This is our edit, our draft. If you have any edits, please let me know. We've been right now analyzing each of the suggested properties, local knowledge. This is internet-based. These are floodplain information. Sometimes there's more narrative that needs to be included, especially when we're reaching out for funding, we're reaching out to developers. Make sure that the thing is absolutely correct. We found some typos and some misnumbers and property names and whatnot. So,
is that just for the Windsor area?
No, Windsor, and then there's one site out in the Westmoreland.
Okay. Oh, that's a government road. I did see that.
Yeah, and it's wrong. It's one of the ones that's wrong. So, we didn't.
I just thought it was a track in Orlando.
But we'll go over this when we talk about the strategic plan, as we'll talk about the recommendations of how to forward. We also sent Bobby over to Lindsay. And
any other questions from Robert? Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
See strategic plan on the list.
Yeah. Okay, order of business. Reappointment of CPTA Board, Denise Clark. Make a motion, please.
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Reappointment of CADA Board of Directors. You have to hold over there. You like directors for now?
Yeah.
No, sir, that's not correct. But
we had a total of one. I didn't think everybody would walk off. So we need a director from the planning commission to get on this board. Consent agenda. Approved 12/4/23 open and closed session minutes. No motion, please.
So moved.
Now, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Right. Approved versus deeds report December 2023. No motion, please.
So moved.
Now, second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Approved budget amendments. Motion, please.
So moved.
Now, second. You want to read them off? We'll go to work on it.
I don't have to, but I will explain to you the planning.
Sure, something you want to explain.
I just wanted to clarify the very first amendment for the $123,000. You'll see that it's fund balance appropriation, but I want to specify this is not taking new money out of fund balance and putting in. This is money that was received in last fiscal year's budget. Be carried over to this year to be returned back to DSS, and they need to use the money, so we need to move to like
this is coming
out
of fund balance.
It's not new money is coming out of fund balance. It's not like the money that went in to come back out for your program in FY24. And the other one is this money isn't going to be in the fund.
That's it. Okay. Now, motion, please, to approve the budget.
So,
got second. All in favor, say aye. Okay. Approval 911 center grant contract.
Okay. So basically, we have received a grant for $5.3 million, roughly. And we've received the contract, and we need to have it signed and approved. You have the copy of the contract earlier. So just need approval to move forward with the grant. It's an 80-20 match. It's $1.2 million.
Yeah. We go to move forward with this
grant. What happened is the money and the next one, the next contract that's going to approve also is Mission Critical. And the funds for Mission Critical are covered inside the actual grant. And the it's an 80-20 match. So as we move forward with making payments, then
gotcha.
All right.
So the question I have is the match. And it is due when? And how many payments?
It's over the course of the 2 years, it's 3 years that we're that will take to build this. It will be a continuation to get an invoice in. We'll have to pay 80% will come from grant funds and 20% will come from the fund.
So we can pay no parts over 3 years?
We won't know what the monies are yet until we get the actual from Mission Critical in regards to how much the inspection is going to be and how much all that thing will be able to start.
I mean, I'm for it. I'm just saying we have to.
And also, as soon as this is approved, and we're moving forward, I've already been in contact with Mr. Steinberg. He's working on grants so far to help with our 20% that we have to pay along.
Yeah, we're hoping after the cover of 3 minutes as well. We have to then.
Always.
So the question is, did you move the contract?
And I just also want to make sure that the money for Mission Critical is not extra money. It will be covered under the grant.
Okay. Do you have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion that we accept
Approval for the 911 center.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, first and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Division of Funding and Services.
You're doing a great job.
We'll talk about this.
It's basically Mr. Jim Rowe is here with us tonight in case you guys had any questions about his contract or anything that they'll be doing on the consulting side.
Essentially now, basically what they'll be doing is helping us design. They have a lot of experience in the building of 911 centers, and they're going to help us to design based off of what we've already submitted to the grant. They can get into the grant, and then as it moves forward, they'll be helping us with the RFPs and
All in favor say aye.
Thank you, guys.
Other items discussed in the agenda. Confirmed dates in January work session. We've got 15th, 16th, 30th, 31st, 22nd, 29th. Yeah, is everybody looking for the 15th and
16th? 15th is a holiday.
15th is a holiday? Okay, take that out. I'll get to look for the 16th.
That's not the best thing.
Okay. How about the 22nd?
Good.
I'm good with it as well. Okay. All right. 22nd.
Okay. All right. What time?
We make it start at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. And we all like to be with the mission approval for the community.
That's what we do.
If we can reset this meeting so that they in time.
Okay. Spring festival plans. We have decided to postpone that at this time. Correct.
It's as long.
It's at night. Mayor's and Commissioner's Dinner is January 11th, 7 p.m. at Kelford. I do have a Bertie Martin Regional Jail meeting on that date. I mean, Mr. Vaughn, you're there also. Commissioner Robinson, Vice Chair, will be there, and the other commissioners will be there also. So thank you for your invitation. It's always great. That is January 11th, 7 p.m. I'll be going to board chair orientation January 18th, Raleigh, North Carolina. It's the fifth time doing this. Commissioner's report, Mr. Robson, you have one?
Chairman, I have one recommendation. If any of the board members have a conflict serving on the CADA board, I will highly recommend this Ellen Chair to serve on our CADA board.
Why? Balance?
None of this
happening.
Yes, I do have just a brief one just to update those that attended, as well as the public and commissioners who are not able to attend. On December 13th, we had our first annual opioid settlement funds meeting where the public and stakeholders attended to provide feedback on ways that our opioid settlement funds should be extended. And it was a very successful meeting and got some feedback from our stakeholders. And we'll plan to have another meeting to continue those discussions before June 30th.
Any turn? Do you have nothing?
No, it's right down.
Okay. A little bit more. I'm going to go ahead and step into public comments again. Do we have a public comments?
Hello, good evening, commissioners.
Good evening.
My name is Deborah Taylor, and I'm here tonight on behalf of Companion Animal Advocates of RT. We wanted to advise you that after a year and a few months of being an ad hoc committee, these commissioners, we have finally received our approval as a nonprofit 501c3 agency. So, in the past year, we've learned a lot. We've We've run our first successful low-cost vaccination clinic last summer and vaccinated several dogs and a whole lot of cats. That included one dog that came in that law enforcement sent them our way as well. So we know if law enforcement was interacting there, there was something else going on too. So we were glad to be able to take care of that dog. So we are no longer going to be needing to start be an ad hoc committee. So I didn't know if there was any formality you need to do. I don't know. I don't believe you voted it on it. I think it was just a, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that the board just expressed this.
Okay.
But
thank you
for coming back to update.
Okay, great. Yeah. So we just wanted to formally just let you know that. And by the same time, we're seeing a lot of the things. We're getting a lot of the phone calls like what Rachel from PETA had mentioned earlier. My concern isn't the phone calls we're getting. We'll take care of people. We know, you know, we have our food pantries around Virgin County in 5 locations, so it's accessible to anybody. So starving their dogs is no excuse. We take great pains to make sure that these pantries are filled. So if we do have any constituents or residents that are calling or whatever, but the concern is with the ones who don't get the help. We have to do better in this county for these animals. This is sad. We're seeing some very sad things out and about. And if we're trying to position ourselves as the county for tourism and, you know, agritourism and all this, you're driving around the county and you're seeing dogs chained up. That's just not a good look. If there's anything we can do to, you know, improve that, that would be great.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Thank you. At this time, we're going to be moving to closed session and then on the federal statutes 138-3-1A, subsection 3, 4, and 6. We have a motion to go to closed session, please.
Make a motion to go to closed session for SOX 3-1-3-18-11. A, 3, and 4, that's it.
And second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're officially in closed session.
I'll make a motion if we go into a open.
Thank you, sir. Now, second, please.
That was really your heart. So, see,
second. Okay, we have first and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We're now in open session.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
As I mentioned earlier, Ms. Ellen Sherman willing to serve on the CADA board, unless we have a board member who wants to serve.
Commissioner,
okay, hold up, guys, until Joe lets everybody. Hold up until Joe lets everybody in, guys.
Everyone is back with us now.
Okay, just wanted to say that the meeting is turning for 2 years, and the meeting is every second Tuesday and every month, and they're doing it via Zoom. You already have two people that were appointed to the board by the commissioners, and that was Chris Corden and Mr. James Peel. You can reappoint one of those. They are eligible for reappoint. Or if you chose to go the other route, Ms. Cherry King, it is solely up to you.
Well, have they requested to serve here? Either off.
The only thing we got was saying that they were eligible for reappointment. Didn't get any request letters or anything like that, but they are eligible. Hey, to let us know that they were eligible for reappointment. I haven't heard from Ms. Corden or Ms. P.
Mr. as far as she's interested, if they come back, if one still can serve if you want to.
If you only can.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll go with this chair. I'll make a motion.
Mr. Vaughn?
Yes.
Vice Chair has made a motion to put this chair on the
table.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a second? Is that a motion?
Yes, yes. That's a second.
Yeah. Okay. There's a first and a second. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. If there's no more conversation, take a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Recess. I'm sorry, that's right. We did talk about that.
I'll make a motion that we recess the building.
January 22nd.
All right. Have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.